This is 37. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably with him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Doth not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." Now, tonight I want to speak on the subject of deeper purity. Deeper purity. It is possible for a person to have a superficial purity, to be able to keep themselves perhaps from, you know, smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, looking at pornography and gambling and so on and so forth, and these social sins, ills, to be able to keep ourselves from those, and to perhaps, if we're not careful, boast that we are indeed a pure people, because I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. But I want to look into Joseph's life tonight at four areas where he showed a deeper purity. And this purity has to do with our attitudes. Our attitudes. And I want to bring out some of the attitudes that Joseph had that showed not only an outward purity, but that he also had an inward purity in his heart and in his attitude towards the things that he faced. We see him here as a 17-year-old young man, and most of you are familiar with this story. You've heard it since you were a kid, so I'm not going to You know, I just read it, and I think that'll suffice. The story picks up in verse 21. It says, "And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.' And Reuben said unto them, 'Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again.' It came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Jacob said unto the brethren, 'What profit is it if we slay our brethren and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh.' And his brethren were content. Then were passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt, where he would stay for the rest of his life." I believe he lived to be 110 years old. And he didn't make one short trip out of Egypt. He was allowed to leave to go bury his father Jacob sometime later in his life. But he would spend the rest of his life from 17 to his death in a land he did not want to live in, by no choice of his own. And sometimes suffering is brought on in our lives by the actions and behaviors of others that we never asked for. And Brother Dan did such a great job up in men's meeting tonight speaking on suffering. He covered the whole subject in about 25 minutes. And if you want to get his notes, they would be worth copying off, because he covered quite a few bases. It helps to understand suffering. You will be farther ahead if you can mentally get the principles of suffering in your mind and heart. I mean, the suffering's still going to be difficult, but it's good to know what God is doing through suffering. The poor souls that don't know the Bible and don't know the purposes for suffering and why it's allowed in our lives, those poor people never figure it out. But we have a book that tells us why good people suffer, and the great divine purposes in it that can't be learned any other way. And Dan's notes would be worth looking at. And he was getting so dangerously close to my sermon tonight when he was upstairs, I was getting a little nervous. But we see Joseph here suffering. 17 years old. 17 years old. And a season of suffering begins in his life now that is going to last for 13 years up until he was 30. And then things take a turn, and he finds some help and some grace from God, and he finds a precious wife in Egypt, and he has two sons, and this brings a great deal of healing and proper forgetfulness to his life from all of the hardships that he went through. And God, if we'll just stay faithful to him through suffering, God will so pour out blessings on us, it'll help us to forget some of the sufferings we've been through as we focus on the blessings, as we'll see Joseph do later. A psalmist spoke, we don't know who wrote Psalm 105, but he said this about Joseph. He said in verse 17, "He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt in fetters. He was laid in iron." Now, you don't get that glimpse out of Genesis. You got to read the whole Bible on different subjects to get all the details of every story. But just picture that. Now, he's 17. Let me read verse 18 again here. "Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron." So look at him shuffling off. with these Ishmaelites off to Egypt, and his feet are hurting. He's in irons. They got chains around his feet. And this is how this boy is 17. And verse 17 tells us God planned this. He sent a man before them, even Joseph. This was God's way of getting Joseph down before them through a season of suffering in his life. Verse 19, until the time that the word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tried him. I was preaching to the teens out at camp this week. Our teens weren't there. I preached about David. David was anointed in 1 Samuel 16. And he had his big battle with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. But it wasn't for years later that he fulfilled the purpose of his anointing in his youth. So if you think you're going to be anointed or called or gifted by God in your youth and then just jump right into it, no, there's a season of suffering. And David was criticized by his family, Eliab, his brother. He was criticized by leadership, Saul, the king. He was criticized by the enemy, Goliath. I mean, there was a lot of criticism. Saul went crazy, started chasing him around the woods like the Bible says, like somebody hunts a partridge. And I mean, there was a whole long season of suffering from the time God revealed to David what he was going to be and anointed him with oil through Samuel till the time he became the king. And almost identical is the suffering of Joseph. From the time God gave him his dreams when he was in his youth, 15, 16, 17, or whatever, the word of the Lord tried him. God said, Joseph, this is what I'm going to do. But then for 13 years, it sure didn't seem like any of that was coming to pass. And we know Joseph is a profound example of purity in the Bible. He was pure as a teenager. He was pure as a young adult. He was pure up into his senior years. And I want to share with you four areas where Joseph had a deeper purity than just outward or physical purity. He had a purity that, you know, I mean, I thank God for anyone who can say, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't gamble, I don't do this or that. I thank God for anybody who has that testimony. But Joseph had a deeper purity, and I want you to notice four types of purity that existed in Joseph's life tonight that we need to enter into ourselves and have. I want to say, number one, Joseph had purity toward God. Joseph had purity toward God. As I mentioned, if you follow the chronology of his life, and you have to read it on your own, but he's about ready to go from 17 years of age into 13 consecutive years of hardship in his life. After God showed him what he was going to do in dreams. Now, we don't have dreams today. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit shows us things from the Bible that he's going to do with our lives, especially in our youth. As I've said many times, if I were God, I'd call people while they were children. I'd call people in their youth so they can give the rest of their lives to God. They can give the best of their lives to the Lord. But Joseph has 13 years of hardship in his life, of this slavery, being hurt in irons and fetters. And later on, we'll see that sometime later, about 20 years later, one of the boys, his brothers, his older brothers, would testify, and he'd say these words. He said, "We saw the anguish of his soul." When they delivered him to the Ishmaelites, we saw the anguish of his soul. And you can let your imagination run wild for yourselves on what that means. I can just see him perhaps as a 17-year-old in irons and fetters and begging and pleading and crying to his brother, please, please. And they took the 20 pieces of silver and left him. He had anguish of soul. He would go on to be falsely accused of a rape in Potiphar's house that would caused him in the next 13 years, if my reading of it is right, and I don't know if it is, to spend about 4 of the next 13 years of his life in jail. I'm not sure. I doubt if it's like the prison ministry we go to, Brother Brian. I really doubt it. I don't think he got 3 squares in dental and medical and college courses and all these other things. I really don't think he got that in Egypt's prisons. But that must have been a hard thing for him. Now, right about there, when things in our lives go south, this is when people have a struggle with emotions like bitterness, resentment, anger. And he could have gotten bitter, but he maintained his purity towards God. See, God, we know the end of the story. God didn't show him the end of the story when he was going through it. We can read the end of the story. Later in his life, when he was an older man, he would say this, and this shows the deeper purity of Joseph. It shows his purity towards God. He would say to his brethren after his dad died, he said in Genesis 15, verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Notice the deeper purity of Joseph, and that it was his purity towards God through all of this. He never lost his vision. He never lost his dreams. He kept the word of God in his heart because he knew he served a God that cannot lie. And he knew that what God said and revealed to him would come to pass. I think sometimes Job was another suffering man. I think Brother Dan was in Job 14, but in Job 13, Job said this about God. He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." See, there's a deeper purity right there. There's a purity towards God. And I don't know how I can explain this humanly, but there are going to be things that are going to come into your life and into my life that are going to get us, or at least tempt us. Our adversary, the devil, is going to try to get us, tempt us to question the goodness of God. He's going to try to tempt us to question the kindness of God and question the faithfulness of God to us. And right about here, we've got to watch our attitudes. Let me ask you this. Let's say your life's been going really well up to now, but today marked the first day of 13 years of hardship for you, where a whole lot of things happen in your life that don't seem to make sense and don't seem to fit in with what God has showed you that you have to go through. What would your attitude towards the Lord be during that? What would your attitude towards the Lord be? Could you handle 13 years? We have to be careful because many fall at this junction in their life's road. And we read, sadly, this commentary on many believers in Hebrews 12 and verse 15. It says this, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Talks about a root of bitterness springing up in people who fail of the grace of God. That means when suffering comes into their life, God's grace is sufficient, but they fail to avail themselves of God's grace, and they begin to question his actions, question what he's allowed, question his goodness. See, God has a plan for your life and mine, and it includes many hardships. It includes much suffering. Are we going to be able to maintain a pure heart towards God when we begin to go through things that he does not show us the end of them. You are not the center of the universe. Neither am I. Our problem comes in when we think we are. God is the center of the universe. We've got to be careful about our attitude toward God. Trials and testings are scheduled for us all in God's divine calendar for our life. And with them, he's going to look for our purity towards him. Could we say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him? That's purity. That's purity of attitude. If God kills me, I'll trust him. Wow, what a statement. Could we, like Joseph, maintain our purity through the whole thing? You know, we were talking Sunday night or Wednesday night in the Bible study about work. And that was lesson 14, I think it was, of our 16 lessons in discipleship. And we're talking about work. We're talking about a lot of people who have to work jobs they don't want to work and what their attitude should be. And we covered that. And I used Joseph as an example. He never worked the job he chose. He was pushed into this. He didn't want to live in Egypt. He didn't want to serve Pharaoh. And so he was pushed into a job that he didn't want to work. He was pushed into a country where he didn't want to live, but he made the best of every situation he was in because he had a pure attitude toward God. What are we going to do? What if we had the next 13 years of our lives just unbelievable hardships that made no sense how they fit in the grand scheme of things in God's will? He said, "You meant it for evil, boys," to his brothers, but he said, "God meant it for good." You know, we have a verse, a New Testament promise that says the same thing that we should live by. It says, "And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." If we are in the purpose of God, we're called to it, and we surrender to it, we say, "God, I want to fulfill your purpose." We can, like Joseph, believe everything now from this point on it's going to happen to my life, it's going to be for my good. We have to have a pure attitude towards God. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's bitter or harboring some resentment or a grudge, or you've lost your faith in God and you're questioning his goodness. I want you to look back to Joseph and say, "God, help me to be like him." Boy, he had to hold on to that. That's about all he had to hold on, just him and God. That's all he had. Joseph had purity towards women, number two. And some of you remember the story. I've already alluded to it in Genesis 39, and this is a deeper purity that he had. Beginning at verse number 7, "It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.'" And it's a horrible thing. She is a married woman. "But he refused and said unto his master's wife, 'Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed on all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?'" See, he had some standards. He knew God's word. He knew adultery was a sin against God. Not just against the person you participate with, but against God. When David committed adultery, he confessed in Psalm 51, "Against thee, Lord, against thee only have I sinned." It's a sin against God. He had purity towards the Lord in his attitudes, and he had purity towards women. He stayed pure and kept himself for his wife, whom God would bless him with in his future when he was about 30 years of age. But he paid the price for purity. And in his case, he was falsely accused. You can read down through verse number 12. He was falsely accused down through verse 14 and so on, and charged with rape falsely. He ended up going to prison, as I said, for almost 4 years. But he maintained his purity, and God saw his purity, and God honored his purity. And he's probably a young man now in his 20s. But there is a price to pay for purity, no matter what generation you live in. Today we live in a day where it's estimated 85% of those getting married have already committed fornication. Why are they not paying the price? The price today for teens and young adults to stay pure and to stay virgin may be mocking, may be laughter, may be ridicule, may be rejection, may be isolation, may be loneliness. You may have to walk alone, but you ought to pay the price, because nobody has ever regretted keeping themselves pure. And God blesses pure people. In Genesis 41 and verse 45, we read this, "And Potiphar called Joseph's name whatever, and he gave to him Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, and Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, it seems to indicate that right about 30 years of age, God does bless Joseph with a wife. And this seems to be, as you kind of read between the lines in the next few verses, something that was very, very special to him. Something that really worked out. It says, "In the seven plenteous years," etc., and so on. And verse 50 says, and I want you to notice this, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him." I want you to notice what a blessing his family was. Verse 51, "And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." The word Manasseh literally means forgetful, and it is a reference to being forgetful of injustices and forgetful of the past. See, these things have been heavy on his heart. He's maintained a pure attitude towards God. He still doesn't understand it. And then he's been thrown in jail for at least 2 years, maybe four, for something he didn't do, and jail must have been a horrible experience for 4 years. Then he gets out, and God knows whether you're pure or not. God knows your attitudes. And God blesses those who keep and maintain good attitudes. And God gives this man a wife, and he has a boy. He names him Manasseh. And notice, because of his family, because of his wife, because of his family, the birth, he says, "God hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house." Isn't that something? Apostle Paul told us in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "Forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, if you'll be faithful to God and if you'll keep your heart pure and your attitude pure, you may have had a horrible past to this point in your life. But God can begin to bestow blessings on your life right now that'll cause you to forget and overcome your past. Now, some of you don't need that, but some of you do. And that's a wonderful thing. And I just thank the good Lord for my wife, Leslie, here. And just, she not only was my wife, but God used her to be a nurse to my spirit. And just the crazy things I lived through growing up in my youth. And God has used her to forget, cause me to forget all that stuff. Amen? And then children, God started blessing me with three children. And I went from just not enjoying a day of life to feeling like the richest man on earth because of God's blessings. God's blessings. The next boy he names Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the, what? Land of my affliction. He was in the land of affliction, and yet in affliction he became fruitful. And you may be going through afflictions, you can be fruitful in those afflictions. Purity leads to blessings, and blessings take away the pain of hardships and afflictions. They're like a medicine. They're like a medicine that just takes away, you know, you take a couple blessings, drink it down, and takes care of the pain and the afflictions and hardships of your past. Joseph was pure towards women. And boy, God blessed him for that. And if you'll be pure in this wicked world, God will bless you. You may have to walk alone like Joseph and get battered like Joseph, but God will bless you. Joseph had purity towards his fellow man. Number three. He had a deeper purity. He had purity towards God in his attitude. He didn't resent God. He didn't get bitter. He said, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to question God. He was pure towards women. He said, I'm going to save myself for marriage. And God blessed him with a good wife and two good boys, and I'm sure he never regretted that. His boys would go on to be patriarchs of the land of Israel, the 12 tribes. Amen? That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? You know whose names are going to be on the wall, the gates of the wall around the city in Jerusalem forever? You know whose names are going to be there, anybody? On the wall, not on the foundations, but on the wall around the New Jerusalem, there's going to be three gates on each wall. Whose names are going to be on those? 12 tribes of Israel. Someday forever, you're going to see Manasseh. Ephraim. I'll bet Joseph's going to say, I'm glad I kept myself pure. I'm glad I paid the price. Kept myself pure in my attitude towards women. He was pure towards his fellow men in chapter 45. Chapter 45, you know how because of the years and the maturity and the changing of his body and the learning of the Egyptian language and so on, Joseph was able to disguise himself from his brothers when they came during the famine to get bread and get grain. You remember the story. I don't have time to go over it now. And he eventually revealed himself to his brothers. And in Genesis 45, it says in verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And they're shocked. Now they can't believe it. I mean, they've been bound down to Joseph. He's probably about 4 years old now. And you can read through verses 15 for time, we won't, but we see the purity of Joseph towards the men who directly sinned against him and caused him all of the hardship in his life. You know, it tells us over in Romans 12, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And it is not our business to be vengeful or to hold a grudge against other people, but it is our business to be loving and forgiving against those who have hurt us the most. And now he's face to face with those that have hurt him the most. He's been in Egypt now for about 23 years, a land he doesn't want to live in. He's gone through all kinds of hardships, and now the men, his 10 older brothers, not Benjamin, but his 10 older brothers are right before him, and boy, does he have the power And boy, I'll tell you what, meekness is when we have the power to crush somebody. But we choose rather to forgive and to leave the situation in God's hands. See, God had already dealt with these guys. Because we read later that for about 20 years now, they have lived with a guilty conscience. That's a long time to live with a guilty conscience. God's already dealt with them. And he's got the power to crush them right here. But even though it hurt Joseph so much, he knew that life was too short to retain any kind of hard feelings or grudges against any other human being, no matter how much they hurt him or how much they caused him to be abused. In Mark 11, our Lord told us that when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. He had purity towards his fellow man, those that hurt him the most. We're talking about a deeper purity tonight. Deeper. Anybody ever hurt you? Well, if you lived on this earth, they have. Unless you're like a real young kid tonight. It hasn't happened yet, but your day's coming. This is why these stories are in the Bible. I want to say finally, Joseph had a purity toward himself. He had a purity towards himself. In chapter 50, Genesis 50, and we'll close with this here. I read earlier what he said. Jacob, of course, dead. They go get dad. He comes to live in Egypt. Mom's dead. Rachel. She's already been buried. He never sees his mom again. That's another hardship, by the way, he faced. He never saw his mom again after he was 17. She had Benjamin, but she died in childbirth. Imagine that. Never see your mom again. Imagine when the boys got there. Hey, how's mom? Oh, she died. Now Jacob dies. Dad dies. Oh, boy, what's he going to do? And his 10 older brothers start thinking, yeah, he put a good show on so far. All this forgiveness and stuff and taking care of us and feeding us with grain and sending us back to dad with money in our pockets and grain. He's put a good show up to now, but now dad's dead, and what's he going to do now? But see, Joseph had to live with himself. And so do you. And Joseph maintained purity with himself. Verse 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did unto them. You know what they're saying here? They're saying, yeah, the act's over. Now Joseph's really going to get us. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And notice Joseph's response in verse 17 when they get this messenger who says, now dad said you better forgive us. Why? It says right here, and Joseph wept when they spake with him. Why did he cry? Because he had already forgiven them. They just didn't believe him. He was misunderstood. He just burst out in tears and basically he's saying, guys, I've already forgiven you. Doesn't matter what dad says, God told me to. See, Joseph had to live with himself. He had to live with himself. And if you choose to hate somebody, if you choose to hate, have resentment or bitterness in your heart or hold some kind of a grudge, you got to live with yourself too. But he had a deeper purity. He said, I got to live with myself, and I'm not letting anybody on this earth ruin my relationship with my God. He wept. He said, he's saying, I can't believe you guys would even think this about me. I told you I forgave you. Can't believe you'd even think this. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. Now this is the dream coming to pass. Remember, the brethren were going to fall before him. Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Reminds me of that New Testament scripture. Says, who can forgive sins but God? He says, not my place to keep from forgiving you. Am I in the place of God? You don't have to fear me. Come on, guys, we're friends. And then he says, but as for you, you meant it. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for unto good. Come on, guys, can't you see God's greater purpose in this? To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. I wonder if there's anyone on earth today that would love to know that you've forgiven them. These guys here for about 25 years, I don't know how many years. I don't know when Dad died, how much longer, but all the time in the back of their minds they're thinking, Joseph really didn't forgive us. He's going to get us when Dad's dead. I wonder if there's anybody on this earth that would love to know that you have forgiven them. You know, it's a lot deeper than we think of when we think of Paul's writing to Timothy when he said, keep thyself pure. I think he means a whole lot more than don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink, don't gamble. I think there's a whole lot deeper meaning to purity. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How did Joseph do this? Isn't this amazing? Isn't this almost abnormal when it comes to the human race? You don't see a lot of people like Joseph around. They come one a generation, maybe. How did he do all this? Look at Genesis 41, then we'll have prayer. Well, Pharaoh, he may not have been the smartest guy on earth, but he hired Joseph. And he observes something about Joseph. And I think the amazing things that I've said about Joseph tonight can be all summed up in this one verse of how he did this. Notice Genesis 41 and verse 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. That's how he did it. By the Holy Spirit of God. And he kept this deeper purity towards God. He said, God, I don't understand how any of this that's going on right now has anything to do with what you show me. This hurts. I'm hurting. I'm falsely accused. I'm in prison. I'm in Egypt. I haven't seen mom or dad in years and years and years. But he said, I know there's some good in this somehow. Are you pure towards God tonight? Are you pure towards women tonight, men? And treat them as sisters in the Lord. You children, you teens, are you pure in your relationship with the opposite sex? God blesses pure people. It's all throughout the Bible. And man, you got yourself a challenge in this day and age to keep yourself pure. But you can do it by the Spirit of God. That's how Joseph did all this. Are you pure towards your fellow man, those that have hurt you the most? Or do you have resentment or hatred or grudges against people? Are you pure towards yourself and say, I got to live with myself, so I'm just going to forgive those, even if they never asked me. Even if they never asked me to forgive them, I'm going to forgive them. If I ever meet them again, I'm going to tell them, I forgive you. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, help us, Lord, to realize that purity tonight is deeper than just these superficial things. And Lord, I believe it's important to you that we take care of our bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that we don't smoke and drink and gamble and misuse our bodies and just fill them up with junk food and look at pornography and all kinds of things on TV and so on. Lord, I think that's important. I know it is. But Lord, there's a deeper purity. Maybe somebody's struggling tonight with you, Lord. And their relationship with you, their heart towards you is not what it ought to be. Lord, I pray you give us that purity by the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe some are struggling with the flesh and the opposite sex, or through their youth, trying to keep pure. And when everything around these teenagers tells them to throw away their purity, help them, Lord, to be like Joseph by the Spirit of God. Some with their fellow man, Lord. Some here have not yet truly from their heart forgiven somebody. Somebody maybe who has abused them horribly in the past or hurt them. But Joseph did by the Spirit of God. And Lord, some aren't pure with themselves. They haven't forgiven from the heart. They're harboring things. But we have to live with ourselves every day. Oh, God, help us. Bless our invitation somehow, Holy Spirit. Help people to understand clearly what was said tonight, because I haven't been able to explain it that well. I pray you'd make the application in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and turn to page 2.